Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Joshua, chapter 20. Start reading on verse 1, Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him unto the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up unto his hands, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Look at verse 9. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. And we pray, Lord, also that you would open up our understanding, that we would receive the word as it comes from thee, that we would accept it without question. Lord, and speak to every heart that's here, anyone that is outside your refuge. I pray that even this morning they would make you their refuge forever. Lord, I pray that souls would get saved and Christians revived. I pray, my Father, now that you would allow me the ability to speak thy word, and also that you would receive all the honor and glory, for only thou art worthy. Amen. You know, the concept of the cities of refuge is not a good idea that some men thought about. It is not a resolution passed by the United Nations. It is not a legislation passed by any legislative body in this world. This was a divine statute given by God. Not only was it given by God, but it's also given in several places in the Scriptures. I was asking Brother Kincaid last week, has anybody ever preached on this? Because I had come across it again. And he said, no, I don't recall, so this might be the first time. Maybe you've never even read it. Nevertheless, I hope that it will clear some things for you. But I see Jesus Christ all over in the cities of refuge. The first time that you hear about it is in the book of Numbers, chapter 35. You read about it three different times. At that time, the Lord spoke to Moses, and he gave him very strict details. He told him exactly everything, and he spoke for quite a long time. And he gave him all the details of what these cities of refuge were for, what were the statutes and what were the limitations, and who could go and who couldn't. And then we find again that Moses, now I want you to understand that in the book of Numbers, the people of Israel did not have cities. You remember that they were going through the wilderness. God spoke about these cities of refuge way before they even came to pass, way before anybody knew about such cities. They were traveling. They were moving around in the wilderness. They had not crossed into the promised land. But once they crossed, or rather right before they crossed the promised land, Moses spoke to all of them in the book of Deuteronomy, where he's giving him a summary of all the things that had taken place. And he mentions again the city of refuge. There was supposed to be six, but he mentions only the main specifics of what God had said. And now we come here to Joshua chapter 20. This is where they're going to be going into effect. This is where the tire will meet the road. This is where God talks to Joshua and he tells him, I told you, Joshua, by the hand of Moses. In other words, he's telling him, what I wrote with Moses, what he wrote in the scriptures, this is I was talking to you, Joshua. That tells me one thing, that what we see written in the scriptures, you ought to take it as being God's word. The Bible is very specific. The Bible says that all scripture was given by inspiration of God and is profitable to teach doctrine, to reprove, and to correct. And of course, I also, last night as I was going through all this, I also looked into the computer. I like to Google everything, and I Googled in the cities of refuge. And of course, I came across some websites that were written by Jewish people. Their names were Jewish. And they were talking about the things, how it pertained to them, and what it meant to them. And of course, they say, well, these things don't exist no more. Nevertheless, there was one rabbi who says, well, we still have them spiritually. And we are to also flee. But he says we are to flee to the Torah. In other words, to the first five books of the Bible. And this is what so many people think. I read a sermon one time, and the preacher who was preaching was saying he didn't see Christ in this too much. But you know, the thing is, when you begin to read it and begin to see what everything means, everything points to Christ or to a doctrine or a teaching that God teaches us. Even the titles of every city, I didn't read them to you. I went ahead and skipped them. But each one of them has a significant name. Even the way they were arranged and everything, it points to Christ. And of course, when you look in the New Testament, you see where the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. That was the Old Testament he was talking about. The New Testament did not exist at that time. We also see when he was walking on the road to Emmaus, he joined to two people that were walking after the crucifixion. The Lord Jesus appeared to them after he had resurrected. And he talked to them, and after calling them fools and slow of heart to believe, he also made the comment, he says in there, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So you see in the Bible, when you start looking, you're going to find the Lord. And you're going to find them that in the cities of refuge, it points to Christ. And everything that is being taught, it points to Christ. Now, when I was reading what this rabbi was saying, that you're supposed to run to the Torah, I was thinking, man, why don't you just look at the word refuge? When you look at refuge and you look it up in your concordance, you'll find that refuge refers to Jesus. It refers to God. The psalmist, 18 times, you'll find it in the psalmist. He's always saying that he's going to run to his refuge, and that is God. And over in Psalm 9:9, I'll just give you that one. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. So you see, the scripture tells you over and over, and I could give you many more. But even Jeremiah said, in my affliction, I went to my refuge, and his refuge was God. Isaiah also says it, and many of the other prophets, their refuge is always God. You don't run to man. You don't run to any saint. You run to God. He is he is your strong tower in the time of need. That's what the Bible teaches us. But you know, even in the New Testament, you don't find the word the city of refuge. But you do find refuge. And you do find a reference that the Apostle Paul makes about the city of refuge. I'll read it to you if you want to go there. If not, I'll read it on Hebrews chapter 6, on verse 18. He says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. So you see, any time you flee, you got problems. And I know most of you have problems right now. You either just came out of a problem, or you're in the middle of a problem, or you head into a problem. Nevertheless, this life is full of troubles. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us here, when you got problems, you flee to Christ. He is our strong consolation. And just to make sure that you don't miss the point who he's talking about, this city of refuge, the Apostle Paul gives you on verse 20. He says, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And you know, when you read about Melchizedek, you see that he was a priest, that he had no beginning and no ending. He had no father and no mother. He had no descent. And then he goes on to tell you in the book of Hebrews, in the same chapter or in the next chapter, that God, Jesus Christ, was after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, no father, no mother, no beginning of time, and no ending. But he is our forerunner. He's the one that already went and died for us. And now he lives and abides forever. He is now our high priest. But I'll get to that point after a little while. But let me give you first a summary of the statue that God had given us. And then I'll give you how it applies to us today. And it really does apply. Everything that God has written is for your learning and admonition. That's what the Bible does teach. And first of all, I want to tell you that the death penalty appears first of all in the book of Genesis in chapter 9, verse 6. God had ordained it. He never changed his mind. And that was during the flood, before the law was given. Then when you get to the law in the book of Exodus chapter 20, he gives it to you in the Ten Commandments. You go to the next chapter and he confirms that again. So we have here that God had given us a law that had never been rescinded. It has never been abolished. It has never been put away. But then I want you to understand something. Accidents happen. And that's what this is all about, my friend. We're all prone to have accidents. I've Googled this also. How many people get killed by accident in this country? And just on automobiles alone, 46,800 in 2005. And if you start going back, they didn't have for 2006. But if you start going backwards 5 years, the least was 43,000. And it keeps increasing every year. This is just on accidents on the street alone. They're called negligent homicide. But then I started Googling all the things. How about at the workplace? At least 5,000 people get killed every year in accidents. How about children? How about with guns? How about all kinds of things? I've been to many. When I was a policeman, I remember I went to one. And it was a three-year-old child had killed his brother, a two-year-old child. And the mother was sitting there crying, and they were devastated, and it devastated me to look at what was before me. The little baby had been looking at some toys in a toy box, and you want to blame the dad? Blame the dad. You want to blame the mama for not paying attention? Blame the mama. Or you want to blame the three-year-old? The thing is, an accident had occurred, and a life had been taken. The little child was looking into the toys, and the three-year-old closed the lid, and he choked them. And so many times I saw many people get killed by accidents. It happens. And that's why God had put it in here. These things are going to happen even before they had approached the promised land, before they had crossed the Jordan, before they had cities. God had already said, you're going to appoint six cities. It's going to be the ones that belong to the Levites. We're going to give them 48, but out of those 48, you appoint six. Nevertheless, we see that it was not an afterthought that God had realized, oh, I made a mistake or I need to insert this. It wasn't an amendment to the Constitution. It wasn't the Bill of Rights that he had forgotten. This was something that God did it way before it came to pass. This was not something that caught God by surprise. But I want you to know that first of all, he had said that you would designate six cities and they would be evenly distributed. In other words, when you look at the map during that time and era, when you had the 12 tribes already divided in the promised land, you notice that right smack in the middle, you will find the first city. And when I began to circle each one, every one of them is centrally located so that everybody could get to these cities as quick as they could. Accidents could happen anywhere. God was concerned that these people would not die by the blood of the avenger of blood, that they would get to these cities and be secured. He also made it very plain. He wanted it to be accessible to all. And when you read in the websites that the Jewish people have on the internet, their traditions, what it says that these cities, this is not something that you'll find in the scripture. This is their story. This is what they have put down. It said that that every year they had to go and make sure that these places, the roads leading to the cities of refuge, was very clear, that there would be no obstacles, that there would be no debris, that nobody would be sidetracked, that they would go and repaint the signs, that the signs would be posted pointing the right direction. I can almost see the devil making sure that the signs were pointing in all kinds of directions, that he would point you to the wrong way, especially at every intersection. They wanted to make sure, and God had said, you put them evenly divided. It would also be that it would be whosoever killeth unawares. I like the word whosoever. I like it because it appears over and over and over. You find it in the Old Testament 70 times. You find it talking about the cities of refuge many times. You find it in the Gospels 66 times. You think that God wants you to understand that whosoever means whosoever? That's exactly what he means. If anybody would kill, so it wasn't only for Jewish people. It wasn't only for the children of Israel. God had provided this same provision for anybody living in the country, that they could all run to these cities and have the same privilege as any Jewish person. And I like that, because when I first started reading the Bible, I didn't know any better. I thought that this was just a Jewish book, that it was only for the Jewish people, and that I had nothing to do with it. But once I began to read the New Testament, I realized, well, God is also the God of the Gentiles. The gates would always be opened. That was another provision. Wouldn't it be sad if God had, or rather if you had run to these cities and then you find a sign at the front, it says open only from 8 to 5 and it was already 6 o'clock? You wouldn't like that, or we're closed on weekends and it's on Friday night. I said, oh man, they're going to catch up to me. You see, God had ordained it, the gates would be open at all times. He had ordained it that these cities would be in high elevations, that anybody could see. And this would be so that you wouldn't be wondering where, I wonder where that city is. You'd be able to see, oh, is that one way over there in the hill? I just need to run to it. It was also ordained before it was even needed. But I want you to know something very important. The refugee, whoever ran into these cities, after he was tried and found guilty of manslaughter, that means you had killed somebody unawares. You had killed somebody unwittingly, or you had killed somebody by ignorance, that you would be able to stay there, and you had no clue how long you were going to stay, because you were there until the high priest would die. And I would sure would hate to say that what if you were the high priest? Everybody in jail or everybody in those cities, they're praying for you to die. I wouldn't want to be that guy. But on the other hand, this was their only way to go home. Otherwise, they couldn't see their children. They couldn't see their wives and grandkids growing up. They couldn't see, they couldn't come back and enjoy the tortillas and all of that. You had to be in this place and do your own cooking. But I'm just so glad that we don't have to wait like that anymore. We have a high priest that shall never die again. But now let me give you a shadow of what this all means to us now. Sometimes we forget because it's in the Old Testament. We don't see the cities of refuge being mentioned in the New. We think that, well, that was only for them. It wasn't really for us. But I want you to know that all of these are shadows and figures of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single thing that He writes, He's pointing you to Him. That's the whole purpose of the Bible. This is where, reading the Scripture, this is where you're going to find the Lord. You're going to find His heart. You're going to find His will. You're going to find His ways. You're going to find the way of salvation. And He's going to clear the way. But the first thing I want you to know is that the Avenger of Blood. This was not a hanging mob. This was not a firing squad that had been designated. These were not bounty hunters. The Avenger of Blood was none else than the next of kin. This would be the brother or the father or somebody very close to the one that you had killed by ignorance. He's the one that had been ordained by God to execute judgment on you. If you had committed this murder and you were fleeing, the next of kin, called the Avenger of Blood, was ordained by God to do that work, and it would not be considered murder. God ordained it that way. But I want you to know that in the Scriptures we do have also an avenger of blood. That's the devil. The Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody that's outside the city of refuge, who's outside of Jesus. And many times, you know, the Bible does tell you that if you would come out of that city, then you were open season. If the Avenger of Blood found you wandering around outside that city, they could take your life and it was legal. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret that and say, oh, so that means like if you're saved, you can be lost again. That's not what it means. But it does mean that once you're saved, you've been in the refuge of God, and you come out and you wander because you want to go your own separate way, and you want to go back into the world, and you have forsaken the things of God, and many Christians have, and maybe you're here this morning, and you're one of them. You have been wandering around. If the devil catches you, he's going to smite you. He's going to take care of you. God's not going to be protecting you no more. You're only protected while you're in the presence of God, in the city of refuge. So don't misunderstand what that means. I want you to know also that God ordained these cities to be in the midst. Many times Christians don't understand that. Even the apostles did not understand this. When you read about what Peter was doing, he didn't understand that he was supposed to preach the gospel to all the creatures. God had to show him a vision and had to teach him in the book of Acts chapter 10, where he understood and realized that God was not a respecter of persons. And the first thing that he preached when he went to the house of Cornelius, he said, I perceive now that God is not a respecter of persons. He also mentioned, he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. So he understood now that God was for the nations. God was for everybody. It wasn't only for the Jewish people. They had mistaken it. They had made a mistake. And that's why when you see the cities of refuge and you see that it was for whosoever, That's exactly what it meant. They missed that point. He was supposed to be, this city was supposed to be in the midst so that anybody could reach those cities as quick as possible. And that's exactly what God is to you. When you've got troubles, He's ready to listen to you. He's ready to take you. His arms are always opened. It don't matter what you've been doing or where you're at this point. But even the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles, he mentions in Romans chapter 3, verse 29. He says, is He the God of the Jews only? He says, is He not also of the Gentiles?
Amen.
Yes, of the Gentiles also.
Amen.
So we see here that God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the God of heaven and earth. He wants, or rather, He doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you know, the Bible also tells me, whoso killeth unawares. In other words, if you kill somebody in ignorance, if you kill somebody unwittingly, you know, many times we see in the Bible that the whosoever's, that means you and I. But you know, the thing is, to kill unawares or in ignorance, our sins in ignorance have never been an excuse. They've never been excused by God. You look in the book of Leviticus chapter 4 and you'll find a lot of things about sinning in ignorance. And the thing is that we all sin, even in ignorance, when we think we haven't sinned. Nevertheless, they're not excused. God doesn't say, okay, that's okay, son, you didn't know it. No, you still had to offer a sacrifice. So these people, just because they killed somebody in ignorance or unwittingly, they still weren't excused. They still had to go and lose their family and dwell in these cities of refuge until the high priest would die. But the Bible says, who killeth unawares. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, I was reading that last night, going over because of what Jesus was saying. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus is saying, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Then he goes on to say, whosoever shall say raca to his brother is in danger of the council. I wonder if he was talking about the cities of refuge. Because in the cities of refuge, you had to go and declare your case in front of the gate. You had to talk to the elders and say, hey, I'm fleeing. I just killed somebody, and it was by accident. And then they, in turn, would investigate it. You, in turn, would have to sit in judgment, and they would judge to see whether it was true or not. I was reading in the Jewish website. They were saying that it used to be about 23 judges appointed at every city, and they would stand in judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, if you hate, you're in danger of the judgment. If you call somebody raca, you're in danger of the council. In other words, if they found that you hated aforetime or before time, he says it both ways, then you'd be found guilty. In other words, it was no more ignorance. It was no more unwittingly. If they found out that you had hated your brother before time, then you would be found guilty of murder. It wouldn't be negligent homicide. In other words, when you go to the 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, he says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Let me ask you something. Have you ever hated your brother? Don't tell me you haven't. We're all guilty. I can tell you many stories about me, how I hated many times. I've hated people in the past when I was lost, when I'm saved. I've gotten upset. So I know I'm guilty. And I know you are too. The thing is that the Bible says that whoso hateth his brother is also guilty of murder. So you know what it tells me? We all need to run to the cities of refuge. Just because somebody's in prison, that doesn't mean he's the only one that's guilty. We're all guilty. We've all done the same. Just because you haven't been caught and you haven't been tried, that doesn't mean you haven't done it. We've all done it. We're all guilty. But you know something else? The gates would always be opened. You know, and I'm so thankful that God is always, all the day long, the Bible tells me in several places, that he extends his hand all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. I was 36 years old when I finally accepted the Lord. All this time he was calling me and calling me, and I wouldn't listen. I wanted to go my own separate way. I'm just so thankful I didn't die before reaching that city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the thing is that there's so many people on a daily basis, thousands of people die daily, and most of them are outside the refuge of God. That means once you're caught, once the devil gets a hold of you and he smites you, and you die, and you're outside the city of refuge, or you're outside Jesus Christ, he is our refuge, then you're doomed. You got beat. You got whipped. You're open season. And that's what we all are, but I'm glad and I thank the Lord that his hands are always opened and always ready. The road also needed to be clean of clutter. The signs need to be posted. And you know what that means to me? I was reading also what the Jewish people have to say. They said that also they would assign people to walk down those roads to make sure, just in case somebody's running to the city of refuge, after a mishap, after somebody had been killed accidentally, so that they could help you to make it, so that they could guide you. And I look at that and I say, man, this is just like our brothers that preach on the streets. This is just like the brothers and sisters that go door to door. This is just like those that are out at the rescue mission. This is just like those having Bible studies at home, inviting people to come so that we can show them the way. They would also have to go out there and make sure that those signs pointed very straight. Because there's no doubt in my mind, especially nowadays, the devil has come and he's already put all kinds of signs. Everybody's confused. Nobody knows which way is the way. Even though Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, how many people will tell you, well, I'd rather go the sacramental way. I'd rather, I saw over there where they told me that I needed the sacraments. That's not true. Others would see maybe, here's a sign that says Baptism Boulevard. I'll turn over here. And they think that baptism will save them. But baptism doesn't save you. Tell them I'm not here. Sometimes you find signs that says good works. This is the good works road. I used to be on that road at one time, and I'm so glad that somebody got me out of that. I was on the wrong road. Some people are going on Purgatory Street. They think that somehow they're gonna make it, and they're going to wind up falling in the ditch. God, Jesus Christ said, he says, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind follow the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. But you know, we also have that golden rule bridge. Many people want to cross that golden rule and say, okay, well, I live by the golden rule. You're not going to make it. The devil has already put the Ten Commandment alley just in case you want to go that route. There's so many signs that the preachers need to constantly preach on these things. These things don't take you to heaven. The only thing that will take you to heaven is Jesus Christ. The Bible says it very plainly. He says, for neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. Jesus said also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It was necessary to keep the road clear constantly. And you know something? The gospel is very simple. The Bible talks about it, and the Apostle Paul says that he feared, just like the serpent beguiled Eve, that you would also be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Because the devil's always trying to add something else. He's always trying to say, well, did God really say? That's why it's very important when you make a decision, when you decide on something, back it up with Scripture. Amen. It needs to be backed up with the Word. And you won't go wrong. That's why so many people, they are going in every direction. The devil has made sure that there are many other ways. They like to say, well, all roads lead to Rome. So if all roads lead to Rome, then all roads must lead to heaven. No, they don't. Jesus says there is a wide gate and a big wide road. And most people are going on it. And it's the one that leads to destruction. But the straight gate, the narrow way, he says very few, the one that leads to life, he says very few there be that find it. So we know that the devil has a big road, and that's because he has posted many false signs. He has all kinds of religions, all kinds of ideas. But I want you to know that those that are out there trying to clear the road, trying to get rid of all the excess and all the obstacles, or the Christians that are out preaching, or those that are telling people by the Scriptures, this is the way, the refuge is in Jesus Christ. That's what the psalmist says. In times of trouble, this is where you need to go. But I want you to know also something very important, that they would stay there until the high priest would die. I'm just thankful that Jesus Christ already died. He died and rose again. Amen. The only way these people could go home and get their freedom, the high priest needed to die. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ already died for your sins, to set you free. So he was our forerunner. But now he's also our high priest. And the Bible says that he dies no more. He says, I gave my life and I pick it up again. No man takes it away from me. Jesus Christ is the only one that will give you eternal life. We have a high priest, my friend, that will never die again. We have a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He has no beginning of days and no end of days. And this is where we all need to run. We're all guilty. Not a single one of us can say, well, I'm not guilty. We're all guilty. Amen. And we need to realize that we're guilty. But if you're here this morning and you haven't gone to Christ, you haven't gone to that refuge, the only thing that can save you, you're playing with your brains. You've taken it out and you're playing marbles with it. I don't know what you're doing, but the thing is, if you get caught outside of Christ, you don't stand a chance. The story of the cities of refuge was to teach us that outside this refuge, outside of Christ, the avenger of blood is seeking after you. And if he catches up to you, that's it. And you don't have an excuse. He will be justified to do what he has to do. He doesn't have no pity. That's what the Bible says. He's not supposed to have any pity. But on the other hand, the only reason you haven't been caught is because of God's mercy. Amen. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's people here this morning that have not fled to that city of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the old physical cities of refuge of yesteryear. But we have Jesus Christ, and he is our refuge. And it pointed to Jesus Christ that one day he would come and he would be your refuge. But on the other hand, if you're outside of that refuge, if you're outside of that city, you're open game, you're open season for the avenger of blood. Don't get caught. Don't hesitate even this morning, just because you're still alive and you're still here, that somehow that God is just allowing you to live forever. It's only by His mercy that you're still around. And you need to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. There is no other, there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. He says, this water of life is freely. Whosoever thirsteth, come unto Him and drink of this water even today. We're going to close now with a song, 249. And if you're having troubles, you're going through problems, this is the time to come in and ask the Lord to take care of them. He is your refuge. If you're not saved, accept Jesus Christ this morning. Don't take any more time and waste your life away. You will get caught. Let's play.